on what Joe's just said. I just sort of focus on who is losing out in London, and I think that there are two groups particularly that are in my mind. So the starting point is London's economy, actually. I've got a feeling that probably everybody in this room, representative of a London that has the highest proportion of graduates than any developed city in the world, your abilities, whatever your age is, and obviously those of you who are older, particularly able to benefit from a booming property market, your ability to participate in globalised London is considerable. And for all of us in this room that are part of that London, London is the absolutely the best place to be on the planet. It just is. You can have an argument with New York, you can have an argument with Hong Kong. But London and the South East is the place to be. But of course there is another and quite significant group of Londoners who cannot participate. And here's where it gets tougher, because the jump to participate is much bigger than it has been previously. 88% of London's economy is the service sector. About a third of that is public sector, which is of course shrinking. And there are real issues with the level of pay in big parts of the public sector, certainly the NHS as an example, and parts of local government. The rest of that, of course, 21% is financial services, hugely important to London's success. But it would be wrong to give the impression that, you know, Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan employ many folk in Tottenham. Truly globalised industries, representative of many of the people that are arriving in London and important in booming our, moving our economy forward. But let's not overdo it on who is actually represented in that sector. And then a lion's share of the rest of it is basically made up of retail, and it's basically made up of a lot of crap jobs. And there are a lot of people stuck at the bottom end, and actually in politics, we're having arguments about minimum wage and a living wage. This week I've given the Premier League clubs a massive kick up the backside for playing footballers as much as £15,000 an hour and not being prepared to pay the cleaner, the security guard, the caterer, the guy who does the groundsman, £9.15 an hour. So that's the London. And those are the people losing out in this city. And those people who aren't on a living wage desperately need a politics that's brave enough to accept much that you've heard today, which is that the private sector will never, ever, and has never delivered sufficient housing for London's needs. Therefore, we will need a catalytic public sector intervention. That's really, I hope, LSE, that you arrive at some major public, I'm not suggesting necessarily that it's the traditional grant to create council housing, because that may not be with the gist of the times. But clearly, if we say this is the most important priority for our country, then we must say that the state or the city government has a locus to do something about it. Either, I mean, because of course, when you looked at the figures that were shown, because what you didn't say, of course, is as minimal as the council houses are that are being built, we're actually losing more council houses off the market that are being built because of right to buy. So it's even worse than that catastrophic description. So the country into which my father arrived, a country in which you could buy a house, he bought a house in the 1960s for £6,000, his sister arriving with him at the same time went to the local authority. They said, thank you very much. We've got a lovely flat for your family on a new estate called Broadwater Farm. And the rest were able to rent private. That has collapsed. absolutely collapse with most people in the private rented sector. So the challenge, and please challenge Labour politicians particularly, is are we going to see some kind of catalytic public sector intervention? That may be something like creating a secondary market. Now, that needs a lot of economists. That needs a lot of brains in this building to help work that out, let's be honest. But some countries have, the state has actually used public land, built houses, and then sold those houses on the market, required some profit to come back to the state so it could build more. That might be an example of the kind of public sector intervention that you need. I think Singapore is probably one of the best examples of using a secondary market to create the kind of public sector build. But of course, the other things you need is we've got to grow shared ownership. In that London, where wages are what they are and probably will be so for some considerable time, you've got to grow shared ownership. You've got to have some kind of loan scheme similar to the build-to-rent scheme or some equity fund that gives that a rocket boost. So we're not just seeing small shared ownership flats, we're actually seeing family dwellings where people can get a stake. That, I think, is important in the context in which increasingly assets matter. They do. And I can tell you in my own family, the difference between my father buying a house and his kids getting some inheritance, and my aunt going into Broadwater Farm and her kids getting a very different kind of inheritance, which, because my parents are no longer around, tend to come back to Uncle David. So there is a real issue about assets in this context. I agree totally with what's been said about Greenbelt. It's a real tragedy that the issue of borrowing for the public sector and for local authorities was not looked at in the Autumn Statement, and therefore local authorities are not able to build even the volume that they would like, although it won't be anything like what we saw back in the 70s and 80s. Just on design and density, I want to be absolutely clear that in this rush for building houses, we mustn't let the private sector just throw up another generation of tower blocks that create the same problems that we see in areas like mine. We've got to stand up for quality, we've got to stand up for good space standards, we've got to recognise that most families do not want to be on the 20th floor of a tower block with lifts that don't work and all the rest of it. I'll end there. One last thing. Red caps.
Yes.
Gotta have red caps.